Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
I'm sure you remember that the book of Ecclesiastes is all about how to find the element or elements that make life fulfilling and meaningful and satisfying here upon the earth. And King Solomon explored a good many of the areas that people pursue with that ideal in mind, that goal in mind, maybe I should say, and gives us his evaluation of them in the book of Ecclesiastes. It is a very practical book. It is a very informational book, instructive book. It is a very philosophical book. But it is, beyond what many people have concluded by a quick examination, it is a very spiritually insightful book. It really tells us a great deal about life and about life beyond the grave, which is the key to a fulfilling life here upon the earth. But of the many areas that Solomon pursued, such as wealth, does that bring satisfaction? Sensual pleasure, does that bring satisfaction? Things like sex and wine and entertainment, laughter, and so forth. And of all the things that Solomon pursued to try to see if they would produce fulfillment in life, there are probably two categories that most people would think would at least be promising toward producing fulfillment. And one of those would be to pursue the development of the mind, the intellect, to acquire knowledge and beyond knowledge, wisdom. And yet Solomon finds that that is not nearly as great as a lot of people think it is. And he dealt with that in chapters 1 and 2. And the other one that people would tend to think is promising is the area of work, of labor. Surely working, laboring upon the earth is one of the things, maybe the only thing, that can truly bring satisfaction, fulfillment, a sense of well-being and happiness in life. And Solomon finds even that area comes up short. And that's what he told us in a previous chapter, back in chapter 2. But now in chapter 4, he explores that topic in much greater detail. All of chapter 4 is about work, and how that work can either help or hinder in achieving a fulfilling life. And to understand how that is so, he explores 6 different work situations. All labor is not alike. All work situations are not alike. And so he explores 6 different ones and tells us how each of those different categories of work relate to fulfillment in life. And we're getting ready for number 3, having already studied numbers 1 and 2. To that end, I pause and welcome you to this Wednesday, August 19 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you, you know what I'm going to remind you that we sincerely, really, truly, genuinely do depend upon the financial help of our radio listeners. Thank you, those of you who help us with it. All right, various conditions relating to labor. First of all, working without prospect or working without hope. That was verses 1 through 3. And Solomon described a slave who labors more arduously than probably anybody else and receives virtually nothing in return. His labor doesn't produce anything that helps him. It doesn't provide income for him. It doesn't provide comfort for him. It doesn't provide necessities of life for him and for his family. All of the benefits of his labor go to the man who owns him. And Solomon said that is a pitiful situation. A person would be better off dead, better never to have been born than to labor their whole life without any possibility of a return. Secondly, he dealt with the person who works to achieve status in life. And that was verse 4, and the one we looked at yesterday. Working to try to make an impression upon others and hoping to cause others to envy your success. And some people think that's the way to achieve satisfaction in life, to achieve enough success that other people look at you and say, wow, didn't he achieve a great deal? And boy, I wish I could achieve what he has. I wish I could acquire what he has and cause people to envy. And Solomon says there's no lasting satisfaction in that. That really wouldn't surprise us. We recognize that that is a very base motive, a very carnal motive, and so we're not surprised that there's no satisfaction in that. Well, there's a third category that we're going to take up today, and that is the category of those who refuse to work. Working without prospect is bad because you are under oppression and have to work for somebody else. Working to make other people envious is bad because that is certainly a carnal motive. But what about the people who refuse to work? And that's verse 5. The fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. Short verse. He doesn't deal with this one very long. But what he's saying when he says the fool refuses, or rather folds his hands and consumes his own flesh, that phrase, folds his hands, is a euphemism for he refuses to work. He will not put his hands to the work, to the job, to the plow, to the shovel, to the hoe, to the machinery, to whatever it is that he has opportunity to do in the area of work. He just neglects to do it. He refuses to do it. And Solomon says the person who does that, the fool folds his hands and, here's the result of it, consumes his own flesh, and that's another idiom that means he destroys himself. He refuses to work, and that ends up destroying him. You, I'm sure, have observed people, as I have, who work harder to avoid work than they would ever have to work hard at work. But they find some kind of, I wanted to call it sadistic satisfaction. I don't think sadistic is quite the right word, but some kind of perverted satisfaction in avoiding work. And they avoid it at all costs, and they work very hard at avoiding work, finding every way they possibly can to keep from having to work. In one way or another, the only way they can stay alive in a situation like that is to live off of others. And it's not as difficult in our day and time in America as it has been in times gone by, because there was a time when people in America knew and believed what the Bible says, namely, that if a man will not work, neither should he eat. But we seem to have forgotten that one entirely, and so there are all kinds of programs and operations, both governmental and private, that are available today to help poor people who are unfortunate. And really they are. I'm not trying to downplay the unfortunate, but it's obvious that a lot of people who are in need because they refuse to work. Now, I have no problem helping people who are in need because of what we would call misfortune. Things that have come into their lives over which they have no control, sickness, calamity of some kind or another, tornado that swoops through and destroys their house or destroys their business or destroys their health, takes a limb, all kinds of things that can happen in a situation like this. And there are certainly many people like that, and it is a privilege to help people like that. And beyond the privilege, it is actually a responsibility and a duty of people who know these individuals to help them. If you're a Christian, you ought to help. The Bible says that if you see your brother in need, and that, of course, is referring to other Christians, but beyond that, it extends into the community. But if you see your brother in need and you say he's hungry, and you have the resources to help him and you refuse to do so, you are a hypocrite. It is our responsibility to help those who are in genuine need. But there's the other side of the coin, the one that a lot of people don't even consider in our day and time, namely, that if a man is in need because of his own unwillingness to work, because of his own bad choices that he refuses to address, it's one thing to have made bad choices and now be trying to reverse them and asking for help to do so, and most people will help others who they can tell are in that situation. But it's another thing to make bad choices, to wallow in them, to refuse to acknowledge them or to change them, but to expect other people to bail you out because of them. But who gets hurt the most in that situation? The person who refuses to work. He consumes his own flesh. He destroys himself. He destroys himself in so many ways. He usually destroys his own health. Working is good for your health. You know that, don't you? We are made for physical activity. If you have a job, and some people work at a job and work very hard at a job that doesn't involve a lot of physical activity, then if you're wise, you're going to integrate some exercise into your daily schedule, because we need that. There's some kinds of jobs that make that pretty much unnecessary. It hasn't been all that long ago that I was talking to a man, getting acquainted with him for the first time and finding out a little bit about his situation. We were talking about exercise and exercise equipment, and he was all in favor of it, but he said, really, I don't need it as much as a lot of people, because on my job, he told me where he worked and what he did, he said, I have one of those counters, I forget what you call it, that counts my steps, and he said, I take at least 20,000 steps every day. Well, folks, that's a lot of steps. It's a lot of exercise. And he's doing it while he's working, and he's up in years. He's really old enough to retire, but he's not interested in retiring, and he's in excellent health, and he wants to work, and he's able to work, and he's in good health, and he's in good health probably because he is active and exercises and works, and that makes him stronger and healthier. But the person who folds his hands and refuses to work consumes his own flesh. He destroys himself physically. He destroys himself, what shall we say, spiritually. And that's true, too, because he's refusing to do what God told him to do. But he's even destroying his own mental health. He destroys himself in so many ways. And Solomon says, that's a category. This is a... We're talking about categories of work. Well, this is the category of work that is non-work, and that one's no good. All right, we'll take up the next one tomorrow. Join me then. Until then, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.